For the last three Lord's days, we've been having a very important study concerning forgiveness. We started out with God will forgive us of our sins if we submit to His will. The blood of Jesus Christ was the cost for the church being built, and of course, to be part of that spiritual body, we need to obey the gospel, and certainly the scriptures reveal to us what we must do. And then the second Lord's Day of our study, we looked at this. As Christians, we're to be ready to forgive others who sin against us as they repent. Now that's a stipulation, and we emphasized that, did we not? Then last Lord's Day, in our third study, we dealt with the Lord's parable dealing with the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18, 23 through 30. And so this morning, we'll close out our series of lessons on forgiveness with this study. As Christians, having been forgiven of our sins by God, we must forgive ourselves. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as, yes, sir, we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. In fact, we're in the book of Isaiah in the adult class on Sunday morning. And then as we gather together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern which God has given us. And that would be in spirit and in truth, in accordance to John 4:24. I can assure you, you'll receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention. We always look forward to having opportunities to sit down together and study God's Word, setting up a Bible study. If you're interested in doing that, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available. Your Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, are always welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. You'll find our radio sermons there, going back several years, our bulletins, and that gives our sick and special announcements and a sound article. So check that out. Now, let's get into our study. No, let's not do that. Let me back up here. We need to announce our upcoming gospel meeting. It's only 2 weeks away. Yes, sirree. September the 12th through the 14th. We want to encourage you to attend our gospel meeting and hear Brother Donnie Vick from the Shelbyville Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis. A very fine, outstanding young man with a wonderful family. And he is a really good, solid gospel preacher. We look forward to hearing another Brother Donnie preach on this theme, the Bible and me. Now that's going to preach, and I look forward to hearing these lessons. And I hope you'll make your plans to be with us. Now, let's get into our study concerning, as Christians, having been forgiven of our sins by God, we must forgive ourselves. As we close out our series on the study of forgiveness, we need to deal with this because, tragically, some people feel as if God will not forgive them of their sins. And as in their mind, they think their sins are so wicked and vile, and so that's how they feel about it. Well, the truth is this. God will forgive them when they obey the gospel. Or, if they have obeyed the gospel but have gone back into a sinful situation, if they are scripturally restored, they will be forgiven. So there's no point in them feeling like God will not forgive them, and thus they don't forgive themselves. Well, let's give some examples here. Are these folks who are unwilling to forgive themselves, is their sin any greater than those who participated in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I think not. Luke 23:33-35. You see here, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What had they been doing? Well, they had been mocking him, challenging him to come down from the cross. You see, they were doing all kinds of evil things. And were they not crying out to crucify him, crucify him, crucify him? Yes, they were. And Jesus' attitude was what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. You see how they were mocking Jesus? Well, for those who are unwilling to forgive themselves, did you do something worse than that? What about the Apostle Paul's sins when he was Saul of Tarsus? You know, was Paul forgiven of his vile and wicked sins? Yes, when he obeyed the gospel. Notice 1 Timothy 1:12-15. And I think Christ, Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before, notice, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Paul said by inspiration. Well, what if the Apostle Paul could not forgive himself for consenting to the death of Stephen, arresting Christians and then putting them in prison? What about those who are unwilling to forgive themselves? Have you been doing that? Consenting to the death of Christians and putting Christians in jail? Acts 8:1-3. How much fruit to God's glory would not have come to fruition if Paul had felt like that, as some do, that God could not forgive them and not forgive him in this situation? Well, that's something to think about, is it not? What was Paul able to do instead? Notice Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which were behind. That's the negative, but also it's the positive. Paul had been able to accomplish much for the Lord's church in glorifying God. But he didn't rest on what he had done, nor did he let what the sinful things that he had done before he obeyed the gospel drag him down. No, he pressed on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So by realizing our sins are forgiven, Why not use that truth as a springboard to leave those things which are behind and press on as Paul did? Well, let's note this. You know, there are those that believe they have committed the so-called unpardonable sin. The only unpardonable sin is when a person refuses to confess and repent of their sins. Then it cannot be pardoned. No, that's the unpardonable sin. Notice 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Well, what does it mean, sin unto death? It means any sin of which one is unwilling to confess and repent. And of course, they're not going to be forgiven. That's the stipulation God has required. We have to be willing to admit that we're sinners and humble ourselves and do the will of God and turn from them. That's repentance, making a change of wills and get out of the sinful life. Well, let's deal with this also, because some have misunderstood the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 12:31, Jesus stated, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." Well, that's what we've been talking about, hasn't it? But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that is, shall not be forgiven unto men. So we need to know, what does it mean, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, in the context in which Jesus said this? So we're going to go now to Mark chapter 3, as Mark's account, we can better understand why Christ made this statement. I think it would be good to see the background here. Verse 20, "And the multitude cometh together, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it," that is, the friends of Christ, that would include probably the family as well. His kinsmen is in the column, in fact. "But they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." In other words, they were thinking he was out of his mind. This was the brethren. John 7:5, you see, they didn't believe at that time that he was the Christ. They no doubt knew he was such a fine, you know, brother in their family, the other siblings, but they didn't recognize him for who he was till later. And you see, that's something to keep in mind here. Right after that, in verse 22, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." And thus, notice how Jesus dealt with this. He called unto them, and he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" Well, Beelzebub, that's, you know, the Lord of flies, which came to be another attribute for Satan. And how's he going to cast himself out? The demons, the devils that were possessing people, and of course the Lord had the power to remove them, as well as the apostles. Now, notice, Jesus said, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." Well, that's a good argument, isn't it? "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." So this, as solid as it can be, is Jesus is answering this charge. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind a strong man, then he will spoil his house. Speaking of Satan, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan, which the Holy Spirit, of course, is involved with the power here of removing the evil spirits. And so, as we study this together, our emphasis here is, does not verse 30 give us the inspired commentary of what the context is? He hath an unclean spirit. That's what they charged him with. And after our Lord had healed a man who was blind and dumb with a demon possession, Matthew 12:22, he was falsely accused of being linked to Satan. Yes, Beelzebub. So, this meant not only that the deity of Christ was being rejected, but suggesting that the Holy Spirit's power came from an unclean spirit, such as Satan, who is a fallen angel. There in verse 30, that's clear. And therefore, who today is committing this sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Well, we don't have demon possession today. After the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased, yes, these gifts ceased after the apostles and those that had received the gifts through the laying on of the apostles' hands died. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, 1 Corinthians 13:10. The miraculous gifts were done away when the revelation of God was complete, perfect. The perfect law of liberty. That's the perfect. And so today we don't have demon possession. And who's going to say that Jesus is casting out demons today by the power of Beelzebub? So this is something we needed to clear up, because some think they've committed this sin, and that's not the case. It's so very important for all Christians to understand that by daily walking in the light, as Christ is in the light, God forgives us of our sins, and therefore we must forgive ourselves as we repent of our sins, as we confess our sins publicly or privately, depending on the circumstances, and pray for forgiveness. Let's go now to 1 John 1:5-10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But, here's the contrast, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Who is going to say that they have no sin? Well, that would be someone that is a liar. And that's not what we want to be a part of, is it? Now, God's holy word reveals to us that God forgives us of our sins as we submit to his will in obeying the gospel of Christ by contacting the blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism, as we dealt with in the very first lesson, very first sermon of our series. And after becoming a Christian, if we become unfaithful, the second law of pardon applies, which is repent and to pray to God for the forgiveness of our sins in accordance to Acts 8, 19 through 24. You see where Simon the sorcerer, who had bewitched the city with his tricks, well, he learned the truth and obeyed it. He himself was baptized for the remission of his sins and added to the body of Christ. And then when Peter and John, the apostles, came to lay on hands and pass on the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, he desired to buy that ability. Well, what did Peter tell him? Thy money perish with thee in the thought that you can purchase the gift of God. So he was told to repent and to pray for forgiveness. And this, of course, is the second law of pardon. And we want others to pray for us when we are being restored, do we not? If our sin is known by others, that's public. Then our acknowledgement needs to be public. And of course, then our brethren can pray for us as well. So, as we've discussed already in one of our sermons, when a brother sins against another brother, Matthew 18, 15 through 17, keep it private. Go to the brother and work that out. But we must repent and ask for forgiveness as the guilty brother. That's right. And if we sin privately in our heart, such as coveting and lusting, then we should repent and pray to God privately for forgiveness. And we can be assured that God will forgive us as we walk in the light. As He is in the light, we have that fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. Notice that. You know, as we sing the wonderful hymns, "There is power in the blood," or "What can wash away my sins?" Well, it's nothing but the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, isn't it? Well, let's appreciate the powerful blood of Christ, which links all three dispensations, all three ages, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian, which we're in today. By the grace of God, the obedient sinner to God's plan of salvation receives the forgiveness of his sins. The blood of Christ went back and cleansed the sins of those who were faithful under the law that they lived under, whether it was the patriarchal or the Mosaic. So we need to ask ourselves, am I the obedient, faithful child of God? Have I had my sins cleansed by the blood of Christ, washed away in the watery grave of baptism? Am I serving faithfully in the church of Christ? May I never, never, never forget that there would be no forgiveness of sins without the blood of Christ being shed for the sins of all accountable souls. I don't want to ever forget that. What about you? Now, we've studied about God calling us to forgive. He's called me to forgive. And I want to be able to answer honestly these five questions, and I hope you will do the same. Do I really comprehend the terribleness of sin? It separates one from God, doesn't it? We know that. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Galatians 5, 1 through 21, Revelation 21, 8, these verses will help us in seeing the terribleness of sin. Now, number 2, do I understand that all sin is against God? As Joseph refused to lay with Potiphar's wife when she was trying to get him to do so. And he knew that was wickedness, and he didn't want to do that against his employer. But he made it clear that he didn't want to sin against God, and that's the fact. All sin is against God. The prodigal son, he realized he had sinned against his father, Luke 15:18 through 21, and returned home. Number three, have I been forgiven of my sins by obeying the gospel of Christ and remaining faithful? As 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9, what's going to happen when Christ returns? I need to remain faithful unto death, receive the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Remember Paul, as he stated in 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, that he was ready for his departure. He had kept the faith. He had finished his course, and he had fought a good fight. And he knew there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him, but not for him only, but also all them that would love his appearing. I want to be of the one that loves his appearing, don't you? Number four, if God has forgiven my sins, why would I not forgive myself? Well, that's what we just studied, is it not? Number five, have I learned from God how to forgive others? Well, if I haven't, I better get started today, right now, in fact, as let's truly be followers of Christ. Luke 23:33-37, you'll want to study that. But certainly we need to examine ourselves, as this lesson is eternally important concerning forgiveness, as we've gone through these four lessons, and hopefully we've all profited and have drawn closer to God, realizing the terribleness of sin and how we were separated from God. If we've obeyed the gospel, how thankful we are to be reunited, reconciled back to God by the blood of Christ. We need to really be thankful every day for salvation. If we've not obeyed the gospel, then why are we waiting? What's more important? We stand ready to assist anyone in studying further, going to the scriptures. What would the Lord have me to do in order to be forgiven of my sins? We need to know from the scriptures, not what someone thinks or an opinion. We have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. That motivates us to repent of our sins, making a change of wills and ready to do the will of God, getting out of sin, Luke 13:3-5. Then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, where we're stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God before others. And then, having made the good confession, we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. The forgiveness. We thank you so much for listening today.